This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل منا ويغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to you all after a long break. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our efforts and to forgive us our sins and to blot out our sins. We ask Him for useful knowledge and understanding, that which is beneficial and wide sustenance. On Him, glory be to Him, who has no partners. Are we utterly dependent, and to Him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. So we are on Hadith, Al-Hadith Thamina Ashar, Al-Hadith Thamina Ashar, which is the 18th Hadith, inshallah. From the collection of Imam Nawawi, just to remind you, Al-Arba'een fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam, as he called it, the 40, to do with the principles of Islam and the basis for legal rulings in Islam, the 40 or so that he picked, and especially focusing on the various sharh expositions that were done, a very abbreviated version by Imam Nawawi himself, who passed away in 676 Hijra. And then Imam At-Tufi, who was, unlike Imam Nawawi, who was Shafi'i, a very prominent Shafi'i scholar. At-Tufi, who's humbly scholar, also did a sharh of this, Al-Ta'yeen fi Sharh al-Arba'een, which he called the distinct, or the designated one. His book he called the designated one in the exposition of the 40, meaning of Imam al-Nawawi. Imam Tufi, who's a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, passes away in 716, so about 40 years or so after Imam Nawawi. Which is a very good sharh, actually. Ibn Rajab, who came after him, who dies in 795 Hijri, so about 70-80 years after Imam At-Tufi. Ibn Rajab is back to be on the same, but he added 8 more hadith to it. So this is the most comprehensive of the and the most famous of the detailed exposition of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, with an addition of 8 more from Ibn Rajab himself. And that is Jami' al-Hikam, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, the compendium of knowledge and wisdom. Fi sharhi khamsin hadithan min jawami' al-kalim. That's his title of his book. In the exposition of 50 hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, from the one who was given brevity in speech, that's what he calls it, sallallahu alaihi, meaning in those hadith. Al-Haytami also does a sharh, who's Shafi'i, who is a couple of hundred years later. I've not referred much to it. I did earlier on, but there's a lot of repetition in it, a lot of use of weak hadith, and I didn't find really much else to add. Aside from that, we refer to Zarabozo's, which is in English, three volumes. He heavily refers to Ibn Rajab's sharh, and also Haytami as well, actually. So what you miss, and add stuff from himself as well. Aside from adding my own analysis, of course, and my own conclusions and additions. Now, that's a reminder of what we've been going through. So we'll take the hadith as it's mentioned in the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi. He says, "An Abi Dharr Jundub ibn Junada wa Abi Abdurrahman Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhuma an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi sallam qal, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt wa atbi'i sayyi'ata al-hasanata tamhuha وخالق الناس بخلق حسن رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي بعض النسخ حسن الصحيح. So he says, from Abi Dharr Jundub ibn Junada and Abi Abdurrahman Mu'adh ibn Jabal, both Sahabi, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with them both, from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, have taqwa in Allah wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out. The latter meaning will wipe out the former. And deal with people in the best of manners, in a good manner. Behave with people. And he says, Tirmidhi reports this, meaning Tirmidhi, in his famous Al-Jami' Sunan, a Sunan it's called, but it's really called Al-Jami', the compendium of Imam Tirmidhi. And he says, it is a good hadith, hadith Hasan. And in some copies, manuscripts, he says, Hasan al-Sahih, that it is authentic hadith. The first thing to mention is that because remember, Imam Nawawi doesn't mention the whole chain of hadith. He just mentions the Sahabi. So his collection. In fact, the person famously who took Imam Nawawi's 42 hadith and put the chains with them from the sources like Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, going back to the sources, the person who famously gave them the full chain in the form of a book was Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who came many centuries later, but he's the one who famously gave the full chain to these ahadith, basically. And he gave the chains, what his task was, he gave the chains which were with the least number of narrators in the chain. I don't want to go into that, but that's just to mention that to you by the by. But when he mentions it like this even, the impression you can get is that both these Sahaba are reporting this hadith from the same chain. Because otherwise you shouldn't mention it like this. Because it's saying that Abi Dharr and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, both of them report from the Messenger of Allah. So because you haven't got the full chain, you get the impression that the chain of narrators and says that these two, but actually they're both separate chains. And that's not clarified and will not be clarified. That's why I've always said we must go back to the source of where this hadith is taken from. And we'll see in Tirmidhi, the clarification of it. That's the first thing to mention. So when you say it like that both Sahaba, without clarifying that both Sahaba report from separate chains, it can lead to a confusion of being the same chain. Secondly, even though Imam Tirmidhi says in his collection, Hasan al-Sahih, that it is authentic, the hadith actually from both the chains is weak. This hadith is da'if, weak. And I'll clarify that in a minute. Why? So this would be the second hadith in this 40. The first hadith, which was weak in the collection, also from Imam Tirmidhi, who at that time did not say it was authentic, was the hadith number 12, which was min husnil islam al mar tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the good of the Islam of a person, from the goodness of Islam of a person, is to leave alone that which does not concern him or her. If you remember, we already covered this hadith, and we clarified that hadith was also weak. But just to remind you, this is not the only second hadith which is weak. In the majority are authentic what he's passing, because he's transmitting from hadith from Bukhari Muslim most of the time. So this is the one, this is the second one at number 18, which is weak. However, if you remember when we did the very introduction of Imam An-Nawawi, on which is based his 40 hadith, was a hadith which is very famous. And I mentioned in his introduction at that time that Imam Nawawi himself clarifies that the hadith on which he based his collection of 40, and many other scholars collected 40 hadith and 40 things, yeah, was based on a hadith which he reports in his introduction from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says quite rightly, it came from many chains and allegedly many Sahaba, which said, "Man hafiza ala ummati 40 hadithan," whoever preserves for my nation 40 hadith, yeah, "min amri diniha," to do with their religion, yeah, "ba'athahu Allah," whoever preserves, meaning who learns them and passes them and transmits them, that Allah will raise them up on the day of judgment, "fi zumratul fuqaha wal ulama," in the company of the fuqaha, the scholars, and the ulama, yeah, the learned. And in some reports, as he mentions, it says, "wa kuntu lahu yawm al-qiyamati shafi'an wa shahidan," and I will be on the day for that person an intercessor, intercede for him, and also I'll be a witness for him, or he will enter into paradise from any door that he pleases. Yeah. So these are various reports of this collecting 40 hadith. And we clarified at that time that this hadith is not only weak, it is extremely weak despite having lots of chains. And as quite rightly some scholars said, it is fabricated actually. It is fabricated. But is there anything wrong in collecting 40 hadith? Even Imam Nawawi believes it's not authentic, this hadith, yeah, of collecting 40 hadith, but he collects 40. We don't say, therefore, it's a sin to collect 40 hadith or make a compilation of 40 hadith on a particular topic, as some other scholars did. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Collecting 40 odd hadith is absolutely fine still. Yeah. But the hadith to do with it, you must know, the best opinion on it is very weak or fabricated, not just weak. So it can't really be used in any sense to give the glad tidings of paradise and being raised up as amongst the ulama and fuqaha, etc., etc. We can't use it. Anyway, this hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, and in the chain, there are two people in the chain of Abi Dharr, which is the first person he mentions in this hadith. He says, from Abu Dharr, Jundub ibn Junada. In this chain of Abi Dharr, yeah, with these words of the hadith, are two people. One is, of course, it's not mentioned in Nawawi's because he doesn't mention the chain. Habib ibn Abi Thabit, who is known as a Mudallis. Mudallis, in this sense, would mean that when they say an, we don't know whether he's got it from that person or got it from some other intermediary who is weak and doesn't clarify. So that puts a question mark on the chain. And then who he reports from is Maymun ibn Abi Shabib and Abi Dharr, a tabi'i. And this Maymun ibn Abi Shabib is a problem. He's weak, yeah, and did not hear from any Sahaba, including Abi Dharr. So there's a break in the chain. All right. So we can't say that the Prophet ﷺ said when you have such a break in the chain. Tirmidhi mentions the other chain of Wadh ibn Jabal. And in that chain, yeah, it's a different chain, but also in that chain, the same two people that I've just mentioned exist. The same problem with that chain of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in other words. This hadith of Abu Dharr is reported also in Ahmad, Ad-Darimi, and Al-Hakim, and others. Hakim, as as Ibn Rajab says, that Hakim says this hadith is authentic on the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. And Ibn Rajab quite rightly says, this is a mistake. This hadith is not authentic on the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. Bukhari and Muslim didn't take any hadith, yeah, from this Maymun, yeah, didn't report any of these from Maymun, this tabi'i, who didn't hear from any Sahabi, including Abi Dharr or Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And Muslim only mentions him in his introduction, where he doesn't claim to mention authentic hadith. So this claim of a Hakim is incorrect. The hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal is also reported, aside from Tirmidhi, in Ahmad and Tabrani, also not authentic. Some scholars, Sheikh Albani, and in the past, Sheikh Imam Zahabi, have said we can say it's Hassan, even though both chains are weak, one supporting Hassan li Ghaybi, they call it. However, my teacher, Sheikh Abdullah al-Judai, says it is Vaif, because the weakness in it is not minor, it's bigger than minor. You can't then use one to support the other. But there's some difference of opinion. Like Sheikh Albani has said, it is Hassan, it is good, it's fine, especially they would say in Fada'il, etc., in virtuous things, but you don't. Remember, for weak hadith, there was various opinion amongst the scholars from past and present. Some took the weak hadith in fada'il, in virtuous things, to say encourage things, but no new ruling, legal ruling. Yeah. Some took a weak hadith like Ahmad and Abu Dawud, rather than give their own opinion, they would take a weak hadith and try and get an opinion from that. Yeah. Others completely rejected weak hadith, and I believe that's the best opinion. Even taking it in the things of virtuous acts, there was clauses like Ibn Hajar put in conditions of using weak hadith. First, he said, use weak hadith which are not very weak. Well, this is very weak. It's got two problems with it, not just one. Yeah. And that means don't use very weak or fabricated. Nowadays, many imams and scholars use weak hadith similarly, but their weakness, they don't double check that they may be very weak or fabricated. That's not the same as just being daif. Ibn Hajar further said that don't use it to when it brings in any new ruling or promises certain rewards for this and that. Don't accept that. Yeah. Number three, don't say the Prophet ﷺ said, because there's too much conjecture, because it's weak. Yeah. So these are some of the conditions that Ibn Hajar quite rightly put there, even for those who want to use weak. But the reality is, in my opinion, brothers and sisters, that even Ahmad, etc., using weak hadith at their time, it is said by Ibn al-Qayyim that he used Hasan hadith. Yeah. They were of a good level, from Suduq, not Sahih, but Hasan. Yeah, most of his weak hadith that he used, not like the weak that we're talking about. And this deen does not need conjecture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Quran and protected the authentic hadith through the work of Sahaba and Tabi'een and those who followed them. So we don't need weak hadith, because weak hadith following them can cause great imbalance in the religion, as it has been for many people. Anyway, I don't want to go into it in great detail. I did in the introduction, but that's just to remind you about weak hadith. Now, so I should, perhaps in theory, you think, just move on to hadith 19. But I'm not going to. Why not? Because the meaning of each of the three components in this hadith, taqwa in Allah, wherever you may be, yes, is that incorrect? Have taqwa in Allah wherever you may be? It's not, is it? We don't need this hadith to tell us that though, but we still need to discuss that, because we get that idea from the Quran and Sunnah anyway. Number two, follow up a bad deed with a good one, it will wipe it out. We don't need this hadith, even if we didn't have this hadith, and imagine we don't have it because it's daif, I don't accept it as the statement of the Prophet. We already have that, as I'll show you, from other statements from the Quran itself and from other statements of the Prophet, which are authentic. And number three, behave with people in a good manner, right? Good behavior with other people. We don't need this hadith. Again, the reason why we're going to still contemplate on each of these three things is because they are, the meaning of this hadith is relevant. And we have sources from Quran and authentic hadith to say so. Okay? So that's why we're going to still contemplate on the three aspects that are mentioned in this hadith. Before I go to that, this hadith, similar to this, interestingly, is reported in Tirmidhi as well by Abu Huraira, which is authentic. Abu Huraira reported to have said, قال سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, Abu Huraira, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, and أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة فقال. He was asked, what is the thing that most, yeah, the thing which mostly enters people into paradise? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقُ. Having taqwa in Allah and good character. Similar to this hadith, isn't it? It's got two of the aspects which are mentioned. Yeah? It doesn't finish there. وَسُئِلَ عَنْ أَكْثَرْ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ النَّارِ فَقَالْ. And he's also asked, what is mostly the thing that people are entered into hellfire for? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْفَمُ وَالْفَرْجِ. And he said, the mouth and the private parts. Yeah, that's not in this hadith, but it's linked with it still. So that is the hadith, which is authentic Abu Huraira, which is similar to this. In another hadith, which is a hadith which is authentic from Abu Darda, that the Prophet ﷺ said, ما شيء أثقل في ميزان المؤمن يوم القيامة من خلق حسن. There is nothing more heavy on the scales of a believer on the day of judgment than good character and good behavior. There is nothing more heavier on the day of judgment on the scales of a believer. Of course, that means they've got iman already. Scales of a believer, notice. Yeah. Min khuluqin hasan. Nothing more heavier than good character, good behavior. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَبْغَضُ الْفَاحِشَ الْبَذِيءَ. Then the Prophet ﷺ explains what is not part of good character of a mu'min. He says, For surely Allah really hates the one who is foul, yeah, and dirty with their words. The one who is foul and dirty with their words. Foul and dirty with their words links with bad character, doesn't it? Yeah. Foul and dirty with their words can mean liar, but it especially means people who use bad language, filthy words, swearing. Yeah, that's the kind of people that Allah hates. Yeah. So it has a wide meaning, but it covers that kind of bad language and swearing as well. Now then. Imam Nawawi says very little, as he always does, but he summarizes things nicely sometimes. And he says in this, he's talking about taqwa. He says, having taqwa wherever you may be, the idea is there again anyway, okay? It means to have taqwa in Allah, whether you're in private or whether you're in the presence of people. In other words, don't pretend to have taqwa, especially just when people are around. But what he's saying really is having taqwa when you're alone. So haythu ma kunt means whatever situation, whatever place you're in, always have taqwa in Allah. Yeah. And he nicely mentions an ayah in the Quran which brings that idea already. And that is in Surah Mujadala 58 verse 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam tara anna Allaha ya'lamu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard ma yakunu min najwa thalathata illa huwa rabi'uhum ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. So Allah is saying, have you not seen that, yeah? Or do you not know that surely Allah knows that which is in the heavens and that which is in the earth? There is never any whisperer, yeah, among three people except that Allah is the fourth. Yeah, there is Never there is any whisper among three people except Allah is the fourth, or amongst five people Allah is the sixth, or any less than that number, or any more than that number, except that He is with them wherever they may be. He is with them wherever they may be. Another part of the Quran, Allah SWT says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He is with you wherever you are, and Allah is all seeing, yeah, in everything that you do. Yeah. Hence the idea of taqwa, wherever you may be, even if you're alone or whispering amongst a quietly in hiding, doing things. In other words, He is with them wherever they may be. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ. Then He will inform them on the day of resurrection what they used to do. Surely Allah, yeah, is fully, absolutely knowledgeable and aware of everything. So notice this ayah is bringing the idea of having taqwa wherever you are. Because there's nowhere you can escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Nawawi is giving an ayah which brings that idea out, as many others do. Then he says that the idea of hasanat, good deeds, wiping out bad ones, is linked with that which is due to Allah. So if you've done bad deeds before Allah, from the rights of Allah, yeah, good ones will wipe it out if it's purely to do with the right of Allah. However, if you've done bad to others, Imam Nawawi quite rightly say, Tawbah is still necessary, yeah, but the person you've done wrong to will have a right to either demand its compensation on Yawm al-Qiyamah or to forgive you in this world. So that will not be wiped out, which is a very important point to understand. Yeah. And we'll go, we'll clarify further. And he mentions again a few verses to do from the Quran about mentioning taqwa. And finally, he mentions about behaving good with people. He mentions authentic hadith, which we'll come to later, and verses from the Quran about good behavior with people as well. Imam At-Tufi says there's three rulings in this hadith. One to do with the haqq of Allah, the right of Allah, which is taqwa, yeah? Which is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati. O you who believe, have taqwa in Allah, as is a duty and a right of Allah that you have taqwa in Him. Yeah, that's the idea. So he's saying first aspect of taqwa is to do with the right of Allah. He said the second aspect about the good deeds wiping out bad ones is to do with the right of the person themselves. Yeah, that they are looking after their own right by doing good to wipe out their own bad deeds. Yeah. And he mentions a verse from the Quran which brings the same idea out, which I'll mention a bit later on as well. And he said the third thing is the right of other people. The right of other people. And that is behaving good with other people. Yeah. So those are the three areas that Imam Tufi briefly corroborates and looks into. He divides the hadith like that. Now, most of it, the details, comes from Ibn Rajab. And Imam Zarabozo takes a lot from Ibn Rajab and other places as well. So Ibn Rajab starts with the idea of taqwa. What is taqwa? And the basis of taqwa, Ibn Rajab mentions quite a few ayat similar to including the ones that are mentioned by Imam Nawawi and At-Tufi especially. He mentioned the ayat in Surah Hud, verse 114. I think it's the last ayah of Surah Hud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلُفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. So establish salah on the two ends of the day and something from the night. Surely hasanat, good deeds, wipe away, yeah, take away bad ones. Quran is saying this. Yeah, Quran is saying, surely good deeds, wipe away, remove, take away the bad ones. And that is a reminder for those who remember, those who are reminded. This ayah is mentioned in regards to an incident which is reported in Bukhari and Muslim in authentic hadith. And one of the riwayahs from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what happened, that a man came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I met a woman. And of course, he's talking about not his wife. And I did everything with her, from kissing, cuddling, everything I did with her, except the final act of sex. Yeah. And he came as though he was destroyed and distraught. So the Prophet, in response to that, yeah, this is the ayah the Prophet mentioned, that this ayah was revealed when this man came saying that. Yeah. And the Prophet mentioned this ayah to him, saying to him, do this, Aqimis Salata Tarafiyin Nahar. Establish salah, yeah, both ends of the day, something from the night, surely good deeds wipe out bad ones. Now, that can mean that his five daily salah. It can also mean doing extra salah as well. Yeah, both can be covered, but it can mean even the five daily salahs. Why do I say that? Because we have another hadith which mentions about a person coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith is in mentioned by Bukhari and this is by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, authentic hadith from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. قال كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yeah, Anas says, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فجاءه رجل, and a person, a man came, فقال يا رسول الله, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, إني أصبت حد فأقم علي فأقمه علي. I have done something which deserves the had punishment. The had punishment. So something serious, it seems it could be sexual. So give me the had punishment, he's saying. قال ولم يسأله عنه. Anas then said, the Prophet didn't ask him for any further details of what he's done. Yeah. قال وحضرت الصلاة. So he's in the mosque, and the time for salah came. فصلى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yeah, time for salah came. So this man who came saying, give me the punishment, stood up and prayed the salah with the Messenger of Allah. We're talking about front salah, aren't we? Because it's time for salah has come. Yeah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the imam. So the man prayed behind him. فَلَمَّا قَدَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةَ قَامَ إِلَيْهِ. When the Prophet ﷺ completed the salah, this man stood again, to the Prophet ﷺ, came to him again, and said, O Messenger of Allah, he repeated the same thing. I have done an act which is deserving of had punishment. Yeah, so give me that which is in the book of Allah according to it, the punishment. Qal, the Prophet, look what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in Bukhari, brothers and sisters. He said, Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaysa qad sallayta ma'ana? Did you not just pray with us? Do your salah with us? Qala na'am. The man said, yes. Qal, the Prophet then said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لَكْ ذَنْبَكْ. For surely Allah has forgiven you your sin. SubhanAllah. Or qal haddak. He's forgiven you your had punishment. SubhanAllah. How many people nowadays from the Muslim would behave like that with such a person? Look at the Messenger of Allah. And he knows what the had is. He said, you just prayed behind me. Allah's forgiven you. Go away. Go away. Go away. So this is why I said that even the other man who came, even the salah five times a day is wiping away such a serious sin. SubhanAllah. Now, so Ibn Rajab mentions that ayah, which actually links with the second aspect of the hadith, doesn't it? Doing good deeds wipe away bad deeds. Yeah. But Ibn Rajab before that mentions lots of ayat, and there are lots of ayat about taqwa. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Indeed, we have ordained for, yeah, those who were given the scripture before you and you, all of you, that you should have taqwa in Allah. Yeah. Taqwa is mentioned so many times in the Quran. Yeah. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, as I mentioned before in Surah Al-Imran. Ya ayyuhan nas taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. All human beings, have taqwa in your Lord who created you from a single soul. Yeah. Or, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. All you who believe, have taqwa in Allah. Yeah? And let each soul look to what it has sent forward for the morrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Repeats it again. Have taqwa in Allah. Yeah. So we'll get numerous verses. We don't need to mention all of them, but the idea. Imam Ibn Rajab says that sometimes the word taqwa is linked with the word, the name of Allah, or with Rabb, yeah? Suttaku Rabb, yeah? Which is have awe and fear from the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes the word taqwa, yeah, is linked with the person themselves being muttaqin, or linked with the something, the punishment of Allah. For example, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Fear the fire which has been made ready for the disbelievers. Yeah, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Be in fear and awe of the fire. Its fuel is human beings and stones. Yeah? Or wattaku yawman turja'una, or fear, be in awe and fear of the day, D-Day, yeah, when you will be returned. Fihi Allah, when you will return on that day to Allah. Yeah, so taqwa is used in the word of taqwa is used in that. And we've talked about taqwa before, as I mentioned it many times before. And to remind us, as others said as well, and there's a report from Ibn Mas'ud saying the same, how authentic it is, I don't know, but it's not a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but the idea is all right. And many scholars said the same. It is to obey Allah. It is to obey Allah. and not to disobey him. So it is to obey on what he's made obligatory for you and not to disobey him on what he's prevented you from, yeah, from the muharramat. Stay away from them. And wa yuzkar fala yunsa, and that Allah should be remembered and not forgotten. That is taqwa. And that he should be thanked and not shown ingratitude. This is taqwa, as he mentioned by Imam Tabrani in his collection. He claims it's from Ibn Masud, Allahu Alam. But the idea is all correct. And you know about the famous narration, which we don't really know how authentic it is again, but Ibn Rajab mentions it again about Abu Huraira and Umar, and sometimes reporters mention other companions with Umar discussing what taqwa is. Yeah. And how it's mentioned in that discussion, that how would you walk with your cloak on, robe on, if you were going along a path which had thorns along it? Yeah. So one of them saying to the other, I would gather it together and walk very carefully in between the thorns so I don't get pricked. Yeah. So the one companion says to you, that is taqwa, to live your life carefully going on Sirat al-Mustaqim, not going towards that which is, so having the fear of not being pricked by a thorn. Yeah. So that idea I've also mentioned before. Prophet ﷺ, which is reported in Sahih Muslim, made a dua, which I thought I should mention, because it's a beautiful dua that we should learn, and we should do the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, this one. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afaf wal-ghina. O Allah, I ask of you guidance, taqwa, wa-tuqa, yeah, awe and mindfulness and fear of you, wal-afaf, chastity and modesty, wal-ghina, and that you make me content, yeah, and free from want from others. Subhanallah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afaf wal-ghina. So I wanted to mention that it's a beautiful dua of the Prophet, which is authentic and mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Ibn Rajab mentions, as he often does, a few weak hadith, which I don't want to really mention. I like the statement of Imam Shafi'i that Ibn Rajab mentions. Imam Shafi'i says, "A'azzul ashya thalatha." The most dear things are three. The most dear things or revered things are three. Al-jawd min qilla, to be generous when you have little. Yeah. Al-jawd min qilla. Yeah, to be generous when you have little. Al-wara fil khalwa, and to be pious. Al-wara here is linked with the word taqwa. Yeah, to be pious or weary when you are alone, even not necessarily when you're in front of people. Yeah, meaning what you do even when you're alone, because Allah's watching and knowing. Yeah, that's the second thing Imam Shafi'i mentioned. Wa kalimatul haq inda yurja wa yukhaf, and to speak the word of truth even when, yeah, somebody is present who you want to please, or somebody you fear is there. Yeah, so somebody you want to please, you don't deviate from the truth, and somebody who you're afraid of, you don't deviate from the truth either. Yeah. So I like that statement of Imam Shafi'i. It's beautiful. and it does mention in it, aside from taqwa, being alone, other good things as well. So the second part of it, and follow up good, yeah, follow up a bad deed with a good one, it will wipe it out. I've already mentioned the Quranic ayat to do with saying the same thing. So we don't need the hadith. The Quran ayat says, "Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at." Surely good deeds wipe away and get rid of bad deeds. Dhalika dhikra lil dhakirin, after mentioning the establishing of salah. And when this incident took place, the hadith in Bukhari Muslim, for the man who was given this good news when he came and said, "I've done everything with this woman, kissing, cuddling, etc. And it wasn't right for me. Yeah, I'm destroyed." This news was given. Other companions were listening to this. Yeah. And one of them said, "Is this for this news or this ayah of good deeds wiping out bad ones when he's done this only especially for him, Ya Rasulullah, or for anybody else?" Because they wanted to take from that benefit of what the Prophet said to this man specifically. They're watching it in front of them. So they want to make sure quickly whether they can get the application of that. So one of them said, "Is that hal lahu khassa? Is that only specially for him, Ya Rasulullah?" Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Bal linnas amma." "No, however, it's for all human beings. That if they end up in this kind of situation, this is what they should do." This is the mercy of this deen, isn't it? Beautiful. What the Prophet ﷺ gave glad tidings about. I'm going to stop there because it's about an hour. We will carry on next time with the second and third aspect and try and finish the hadith at that time. We have some more details to look at this idea of good deeds and sins being wiped, and what is classed as good deeds, and what does it mean, sins being wiped out. We will look at next time, inshallah. Is that all right? Any questions from what we've covered today? And we haven't covered all of it, so no point asking questions of what we didn't. Any clarifications, brothers and sisters?
Assalamualaikum, Doc.
Alaikum assalam.
Doc, you said Allah despises bad speech. But nowadays, there's so in certain cultures. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not in the education field, but in the gas industry and stuff like that, they swear a lot, but they don't realize the swearing. Will that come down to the same aspect of it? Because when people are so used to swearing, using bad language, I don't swear myself. But it's like the culture, it's the normal thing. And will that be a difference?
Okay. That's especially why I mentioned this hadith, exactly for that reason why you're asking. Some people, believers,
they don't realize they actually swear when they swear.
No, not some don't not realize that not realizing is because it's become so habitual and cultural, they think it's absolutely fine. No, some try to justify it. I remember in the 80s and early 90s, some people from, I'll mention the organization, Hizb ut-Tahrir, these clever, self-claiming clever intellectuals who had the gift of the gab, and they would swear as well. And they justified it for themselves and from their teachers, saying, yeah, it's urf now. It's just the culture. It's not bad, because it's become the culture to speak with these kind of words, which is absolute nonsense. As we said to them, this is still filthy language, and urf isn't always acceptable. There's urf which is sahih, acceptable, maqbool, and urf which is fasid, which is objectionable and rejected. So all culture isn't taken lock, stock, and barrel and swallowed. Yeah? You can say, oh, it's urf also to have a girlfriend and a boyfriend and take drugs and drink alcohol. Yeah. So I'm sorry, that kind. And also some people said, that, well, if I don't swear at anybody, it's not as bad. I'm swearing and just using bad language. Well, they come under this category. It's not talking about swearing at others. It's just using foul words, bad language. In bad language, so it means swearing, yes. So we need to realize if we're doing it and change. And if with effort, we can change. I was brought up in Bradford in Yorkshire. And bad language was part and parcel of the streets of Bradford, as it is the streets of Birmingham and any other streets in the country. Yeah? Young people use that. And so I had to make effort to get rid of the bad language words from my language. And finally, all bad language words are not of the same category. There are really crude words, and there are those which are less crude, yeah? So they can't all be classed at the same level, and that's important to remember. That's not to say the less crude ones are all right to use, but their sin may not be as high as those which are really crude. Best thing is to avoid bad language, so we don't come under the category of the fahish al-bazi. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Lays al-mu'min." Yeah, the believer is not one who has that kind of speech. Yeah. A believer, a mu'min, and I often say to people, it doesn't suit the mouth of one who has iman and belief. And you can't imagine the Prophet ﷺ, who is the example for us, using that. And using bad language, you have to think, when I use the bad language, is the angel on the left recording it or angel on the right recording it? I hope that answers the question.
That was helpful clarification.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah.
I was just going to say about the angels as well. I think that people also need to be very mindful.
Question, please, sister, because brothers and sisters are in question mode, not.
Yeah,
the question I'm waiting for.
Right, but I just wanted to...
Brothers and sisters, on this session, they have already said not to add things, but it's for question-answer session now.
So the question would be, if you are referring to statements in the Quran about taqwa and what taqwa means, isn't saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and being a Muslim accepting all that are acceptable and prohibitions of the Quran? By saying that, by being Muslim, we are accepting, isn't the question is, I'm making a statement, but I'm asking the question as well, that by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you are accepting all the prohibitions and the obligatory actions that you're supposed to do as a Muslim.
That's in theory. Otherwise, what you're suggesting is that it's superfluous for Allah to keep mentioning taqwa in the Quran.
No, I'm saying that it's superfluous. I'm saying that if we are mindful...
No, that's what it's saying to you. Be mindful of your kalima and the shahada you've taken.
Yes. And be mindful that when you're using bad
it's
language...
not automatic. That's why Allah needs to keep mentioning taqwa in the Quran to remind believers to have taqwa. And the Prophet ﷺ keep mentioning to the believers, have taqwa, those who have said the shahada. It's not automatic. Okay?
Yes, so we should be striving to be mindful all the time.
Like the Quran is saying in the verses, like many hadith are saying, yes, of course.
You.
Any other questions? Whoever that is, it's all jumbled up.
Salaam alaikum, can you hear me now?
Yes. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see you. Lovely face again, mashallah. Your beautiful words. Just wanted to ask you, Yahi, about the Was it Imam Atufi who mentioned about the three rulings? I got the first one, but didn't quite catch the second two. Were they in relation to, again, this hadith and the three themes of the hadith?
Yes. The one he said was to do with the haqq of Allah, which is taqwa.
The rights of Allah, yes.
Yes. And the second he said is your rights upon yourself, to safeguard yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is by doing good deeds, so it blots out your bad ones. And the third, he said, is the rights of others, and that's to do with good behavior towards them.
And is that at all a almost like a priority list, that Allah first, doing right by oneself, and obviously then looking after others?
Not necessarily. He's taken it from the hadith. All of it is part and parcel of what we have responsibility for.
Mm.
Yeah, all of it. You don't have to specifically... if the hadith isn't there, those things are still there.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Everything, of course, it starts from Allah anyway.
Yes.
Everything is built on our belief in Allah. Yeah?
Mm.
So... And then moving outwards from that, and our behavior as a consequence of taqwa must affect the behavior, as we'll see in many verses in the Quran and a hadith as well, mentioning the taqwa in Allah, and then translating that, how that affects and must affect our behavior.
Thank you.
Welcome. Any other questions, brothers and sisters? Got a few more minutes. If you haven't, that's also fine. No? Zafar, is that all right? There's nothing written down, is there, that we've missed? No?
No, Sheikh.
Okay. Jazakumullahu khairan. Remember in your du'as, inshallah, same time next Tuesday, inshallah, 7 o'clock, to carry on with the rest of the days, inshallah.
Thank you, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan.
You're welcome. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.